The Last Time We Met by Carol Mason, performed by Rachel Beresford. Someone once told me that there's no such thing as a coincidence, only synchronicity. That like-minded people often travel down similar paths that can converge unexpectedly. That's why you'll bump into the mother of your daughter's school friend in the wine shop at 6 o'clock on a Friday, or your old art history professor while touring the Louvre. But sometimes chance encounters don't seem to result from any kindred purpose. And you'll see someone from your past in a place that is so unlikely for either of you to ever be in that you can't quite explain it. You can't even read into it, because very often life, just like who we end up loving, is a random thing. In my case, I just get off a bus at the wrong stop. I haven't really been paying attention to where we are, given that we've seemed to spend 90% of the journey in the snail's trail of London traffic on this Saturday afternoon. What is far more fascinating than anything outside the window is my left earlobe reflected in the glass, and the fiery little diamond twinkling away with each slight movement of my head. I happen to glance at Mike sitting in the seat facing me. He is grinning in affectionate despair. "It's too lavish," I said to him in the jewellery store yesterday, as I reluctantly handed the little diamond studs back to the salesman.
"No, it's not. I want you to have them."
Mike cocked me a glance that said he was quite enjoying being the big man footing the bill for an expensive anniversary present, just this once.
"Try them on again," he said.
"We can't. They're too grand."
"We're taking them."
He pulled out his credit card. Mike had known I'd wanted little diamond studs for a while. I'd managed to drop them into the conversation just enough times to have the hint tiptoe across his consciousness so that buying them would seem like his idea, a romantic gesture, rather than just me engineering my own gift.
"But we could finish our bathroom with that money, or put it towards a new car, or Amy's education fund," I thought. "Please, God, don't let me talk him out of it."
"You're right," he said. "Let's put them back."
He pretended to pocket his credit card again, and to try not to see how my face must have fallen. Then he smiled.
£2,000, Celine. What's that work out to, over 10 years of marriage? You don't think you're worth that to me?"
I rubbed my chin.
Maybe I should try a bigger pair.
Mike snapped his card down on the counter.
"Done deal,"